Rock is a sport unique to the Welsh village, Llangolwyn Sir Gwrst, in which two men enter a sheep pen divided in half. Each fighter has a pile of rocks, a pile they have personally collected from the surrounding field. And during each three-minute round, they take these rocks and hurl them at one another with great force.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Thursday, November 10th, 2022. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, it's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him is the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo!
Yo.
And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Happy anniversary, J.D., to you and Matty O. For that time you checked in at Larry Flint's Hustler Club in the great state of California.
I remember that night very, very well. What was that, 11 years ago? 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
About
yeah.
that.
Yep. I've watched Matty O fall in love that night.
What a weird Facebook location check-in notification that I got, or we all got, I guess, that night, that you guys decided to let the world know that's where you were.
Hey. We were sharers back then.
Yeah.
That was when you did. You always checked in.
You wanted to be the mayor of Larry Flint.
That's right.
Four Square, is that what that was called? Is that right? Four Square, is that app? I remember getting the notification in the backseat of like a cab with you.
Yeah. I remember screen grabbing that so quickly. I was like, this is what I want to have 10 or 11 years. So I tweeted that out. Go check it out. Hello to the stream team joining us live here on YouTube. Take a second. If you haven't, hit the like button, comment, subscribe, share the show. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com and send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. We could hit the beach tomorrow for crying out loud. So get those cues in. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. All right. Okay, I didn't know what that sound was. I didn't know if that was a buzz or someone running water.
This could have been anything.
Okay.
You're having a
fun time here. We've got a bunch of games. There's like 13 games on last night. We'll try and touch on many as possible. But we had a record-breaking night when it came to wedgies. We had three wedgies in one single night of basketball. That is a first since we started tracking these. And of course, in one of the games, it was the Blazers versus the Hornets, and the Wedgie Whisperer himself, Lamar Hurd, was on the call.
Oubre to Rozier.
That's a good zone. Uh-oh.
Let's go to Wedgie Central now. Here's Lamar Hurd.
We have a Wedgie. Third of the season. I believe fifth of the NBA season. Let me just check with ReggieTracker.com to get the updated tally. But the last time I checked, we were at four, so this should be five. Unless something's happened tonight, there's some other games going on.
Oh, yes, there are other games going on. 3 minutes later, real time, we had one in OKC. Lamar Hurd was right. That was number five in Charlotte, but this was number six. I guess Dort gets the official wedgie credit there with the sort of secondary block after Williams from behind sticks in. So that's six.
Wedgies are teamwork, though.
That's a good point.
Everybody doing it together.
And then number seven, it was late night, and it was Westbrook late in this game. Got fouled, but as we clarified, you know, this one counts. It's a shooting foul, and did get wedged in there. We got a nice little close-up. So just like that, we went from four wedgies all the way up to seven wedgies in one night.
Amazing.
Wedgie Tracker hasn't even updated yet. They can't keep up.
No, we were awarded. And I say that because the night before, we didn't give a wedgie to a play that was well after a whistle, well after a foul. And so the basketball gods awarded us with three fouls. You know, it's like when you're a child and you think, if I do my chores, if I read my books, my sports team is going to do good.
Yep.
It's exactly the same thing. We just did it properly, you know, and we didn't give that one. Even the Westbrook one the ones after the whistle, always a question. You always have to make a judgment call, but it's nice to see one on a foul. Everyone can really look at it.
Yeah, we had like four or five wedgies last year that were on foul calls, so it happens.
It happens.
Yep.
We used to not award them. Things have changed.
Yeah, we got desperate.
It's on the play.
Times have changed.
All right, let's get into the games. We'll play a little What You Got, but let's just start with the big news from yesterday, and that was the Nets making Jacques Vaughn officially their head coach. Remember the rumors that Udoka was going to be taking over this team? It was going to happen in 24 to 48 hours, and then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. And the Nets won some games. Well, he is there, and he has the job officially, and they went out and got another win. Durant and the Nets pounded the Knicks 112 to 85 after Vaughn gets the promotion.
We sure thought that Ime Udoka would get that head coaching position. It sure felt that way. It was only a week ago that Nash was fired. It feels like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was only a week ago, and the question is, what happened to the Brooklyn Nets management? Did public pressure get to them? Or was it also long-term view of this team? Maybe we don't want to sign a guy for a long-term contract because who the heck knows what happens over the next few weeks, over the next, you know, month, 2 months. Our team could be totally different. What do you lean, Trey? I lean some pressure, I think, got to the team. But also, Jacques Vaughn's a good dude. Why not just put him in the chair?
Yeah, exactly. I think it is, as Shams and others at The Athletic reported, that is a combination of factors. Like you're saying, surely the public outrage factors into it. And I'm guessing that there's probably a little thumb on the scale from the league saying maybe not the best idea right now, considering everything with your team. Also, the team is playing well under Jacques Vaughn right now.
Yep.
And I think you nailed it a little bit, Tass. The short and long-term question marks around the team's future. Are they going to pay more for a more expensive coach? Certainly in Ime Udoka, rather than a guy who started as an interim in Jacques Vaughn. Probably a place where a governor of a team thinks maybe we can save money, not knowing if we're going to actually be a contender going forward, and we want to have more of a rebuilding coach. So I think it's actually nice that Jacques Vaughn's getting a little taste of the job here, and it's going well for him so far.
Yeah, Shams reporting that Vaughn is said to have created positive energy inside the Nets locker room from dealing with these external stresses, you know, Kyrie and everything going on. So, you know, and the winning record here, it's 3-2, I guess, since he sort of took over. But they're playing defense. I mean, you slip that in there, and last night keeping the Nets to, 82 points? Is that what I said? Something like that? Yeah, 85. So that's like the fourth time now that the opponent has scored under 100 points here, under Vaughn. I think a big part of that is KD locking in on the defensive end as he continues to just score 25 in his sleep. But great quote from Vaughn here, too. Being asked about getting the promotion, he says, "Well, I guess I was the write-in candidate in the minds of the elections right now, but I'm okay with that. I said to my wife, I may have not been her first choice, and we've been together 20 years, so it can all work out. So off we go."
Or like Joke Vaughn.
Yeah.
This guy's got bars.
Yeah. So pretty funny.
I read a column where Jacques Vaughn quoted poet Robert Frost as well. When he went back to Kansas, when he went back to his last year playing with Kansas. And if you remember the bubble, yeah, he was also the interim coach then when Kenny Atkinson was gone. And so he's been around this team for a long time. And you could see the vibes just externally, how great they are, how much they want to play with each other, how happy Kevin Durant is just to be playing basketball and not to be talking about the Kyrie issue and all that. He is balling a monstrous triple-double in this one. The defense, as we said. And, you know, Durant just wants to play ball. And so he's extremely happy about that. And you see, after the game, this is the Brooklyn Nets we're talking about. After the game, it's filmed in the locker room where Kevin Durant says, "The interim label has been shed, sir." You know, to that degree. Interim label is gone. And he hands the ball to Jacques Vaughn for his first official win, even though he's won a couple games here as interim coach. Kevin Durant loves this stuff. You know, Kevin Durant is a baller. Like, who would anybody else really do that? I mean, I don't know. I guess some locker rooms, it's a guy's first official win. Yeah, I guess. But this is such a Kevin Durant thing. Like, to me, the guy just loves ball. He just loves the sort of the history of the game. And so that felt like a Kevin Durant thing. It feels different, obviously, around this team.
Who's the missing piece?
Exactly.
Let's get to that.
Yeah, and the indefinite amount of time that he'll be gone. We know he met with Adam Silver on Tuesday.
Right. We don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah.
He served, what, four of the five games?
Of the five.
That was the minimum five-game suspension, but he has met with Silver in the league, and there is a list of things he needs to accomplish, and I know even the Players Association are pushing back on that, and you're right. It's a bit of like, we don't know if he's coming back in later next week, or will it drag on even longer here?
It'll probably drag on longer, you'd have to imagine, just because there's a long list of things that Kyrie needs to check off before he's even considering coming back to the team, and there've been some reports that maybe they gave him a list of things that wouldn't be completed, knowing he wouldn't complete it, but the vibes are better since he hasn't been there and they've had this cloud hanging over their head for whatever reason. The fewer superstars are on a team, the more of a superstar Kevin Durant becomes. Like, when they were playing basically G League guys last season, it was like 40 a game every single night. It's the same thing here. He is a hooper. So giving him a worse and worse team somehow makes them better. I don't get it, but it's working.
He became the first player since MJ, since Jordan, to score at least 25 points in his team's first 12 games of the season, because he just does it very naturally. What do you think of this from Dragonfly Jones, who tweeted it yesterday after the official promotion for Vaughn? He tweeted, "The Udoka hire felt like a move by a franchise desperate," he said hire in air quotes obviously, "desperate to salvage the KD Kyrie experiment. Going with Vaughn feels like a move that indicates they're maybe done with that. Kyrie probably comes back," he kept tweeting, "finishes out the season, but that might be all, folks." Do you think there's some truth there, and that's maybe what was going on with the possibility of Udoka coming in there, and then the pressure, and then the decision to move off of it? What do you think?
I thought for sure. Yeah. I thought that bringing in a guy who went to the finals last year and had a previous relationship with Kyrie and KD from Brooklyn and also from Team USA, I thought for sure they're bringing him in to kind of mollify their superstars on the team and try and give this thing one last go. Jacques Vaughn is a much different hire, for sure. Mm-hmm. He does have a bit of a relationship with KD and with Kyrie Irving as well. So it's easy for him to kind of assume the head leadership job. But if Kevin Durant decides he wants to be traded next summer at the trade deadline, if Kyrie Irving doesn't return to the team, Jacques Vaughn's a good rebuilding coach for that kind of a team.
I think, yeah, we should all be pretty happy with a few things. Just the power of fans in general, I think, had a big impact on what happened with Kyrie Irving, first and foremost. The league did not do enough until there was a lot of public pressure. Mm-hmm. They finally responded and did something and met with him and are now dealing with it, you know, both team and league. And then secondly, with the amount of pressure put upon the team in regards to Ime Udoka being hired again, I think that played a big part. And also, you know, just in general, away from the fans and just in general, the organization, I thought in the offseason we're gonna at least stand firm and say, you know, the patients aren't running this thing. You know, Durant and Kyrie Irving aren't running this thing. When they fired Nash, it sure felt that way. But when they didn't hire Ime Udoka, it sure felt like they were going back to what they said they would do. Mm-hmm. Go back to the Kenny Atkinson years. Go back to the years when we have a coach, the players listen to the coach, and things work out. So the Nets have turned it around to some degree. You know, they have beat bad teams in this run. But they look like a basketball team out there. They look like they're playing together. And Ben Simmons came off the bench and played a little bit. He shot a little bit. The putback dunk was nice.
He never loses against the Knicks.
He's 15-0.
It's a weird one, isn't
That's
it?
That's a weird one. He did not look
Knicks
great.
Knicks have been pretty bad since Ben Simmons has been in the league.
15-0?
Yeah.
Anyway, great winning percentage. He still isn't shooting enough, still not aggressive enough. They're still playing 4-on-5 at times when he's out there. But Seth Curry looked better, and TJ Warren's joining them on the trip. Things are looking up, that's for sure.
All right, let's get to a little what you got to tackle some of these other games.
What you got?
What you got there?
What you got there? What says you?
What do you have?
All right, what you got? First one. More surprising, guys, and play along in the stream team if you're listening, watching later. More surprising, the Magic holding Luka to under 30 points in a win in Orlando, or Javon Carter on the Bucks scoring 36, chipping in 12 assists in a win for Milwaukee in double overtime. They're missing all of their guys. So the Magic holding Luka to under 30, or Javon Carter going for 36, career high, of course. What you got, Tass Mellis?
Well, the more surprising thing is Javon Carter. I know Luka didn't score 30. That is somewhat surprising, but you watch Luka's game last night. He did miss a bunch of open looks. Jason Kidd's doing a great job of getting him isolated against a lot of different players, smaller players. And, you know, people saying, oh, Chumo, KK plays great defense against him. It's not really what happened. He missed a lot of shots. I would say there is one thing to worry about with Luka. He's getting worse as games go on. Mm-hmm. His percentages are not the same in the fourth quarter that they are in the first three quarters. think he is getting a little tired, and he was only 1 of 6 in this fourth quarter, and the Mavs had a 13-point fourth quarter because of it. So they lost because Christian Wood missed his first game, and they missed a bunch of open shots along with him. So, yeah, 27-point. He just seemed banged up in this one. The Magic did a good job of also kicking him in the nards. One time there at the end of the game, Franz Wagner got him. So a tough night for him physically. You know, Luka is going to get banged up the way he plays, and there's just a lot on his shoulders. So I think that is something to worry about as the season progresses, and you know, as you get into a playoff series when teams can really focus on one dude just managing the game. Although he is incredible, so Javon Carter's the surprising one. The guy averages 5 points per game.
Yeah. The answer is Javon Carter, because Skeets, when you read the question, you said Javon Carter there with the Bucks.
Right.
People probably don't know he's starting for the Bucks right now, but man, he had 32 points in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Previous career high, 32 in regulation. I like to see that he got to the career high even in regulation, just added 4 in overtime. But the 12 assists, like, what? What's going on here? This, to me, was, like, equivalent to when Ramon Sessions had a 20-point, 24-assist game his rookie season. Yeah. Just, like, a random, humongous line from a guy that you wouldn't expect it from. So, big shout-out to Javon Carter.
Yeah. Both are very surprising, mm-hmm. because I'll just add to the Magic win. What was wild is the Mavericks, as a team, shot under 38%, and they only scored 87 points. But the Magic had given up 126 and 134 in consecutive losses to Sacramento and Houston. So it's like, whoa, you would have not been betting on them, you know, containing Luka and Dallas Mavericks to under 90 points here. So that is a shock. But I'm with you guys. My answer would be Carter, even though I'm glad you checked the career high too previously, because I was like, what can his be, like 22 or something like that? Sort of amazing. He hit 8 threes off the bench as a rookie in an April game when the Grizzlies are out of the playoff race, like way back in the day. But yeah, this was an entertaining game too.
Oh, yeah.
The B team Bucks versus OKC, obviously going to double overtime.
Yeah, Shea shaking my man Wesley Matthews out of his pants, because that's what Shea does, dropping 39 points in that one. But Javon Carter I hate doing this all the time, but it's real Spursy for a guy like that, mm-hmm. to come out and ball when he has the opportunity to ball, when he has the opportunity to just fire as much as he wants. It's real Marco Bellinelli, really a Gary Neal situation to say, all right, you know, in the postseason, we might need you to score a few baskets. And he's solid. He's always been a solid player.
There were a lot of people wanting him to play a lot more last postseason, where mm-hmm. it was like Bud was sort of leaning more towards Grayson Allen than really giving him a chance. So mm-hmm. maybe he'll get some more here after going for 36 and 12. You know, he's a bit of a bulldog on defense too. He obviously plays hard at that end.
Yeah, and it is surprising for many that he is starting, because he just fits in, does his job. And I'm a fan that I checked as I'm looking on the screen here, if you're watching on YouTube, that the V in his name is not capitalized. I respect. I like that. I'm not a huge guy on the capital letters in the middle of a name, but I thought Javon's was. I thought that was a capital V, and I went and double checked. You're absolutely everyone's
thinking Marjan is what you're thinking.
Well, you know, there's a lot of letters there. But nice respect to Javon Carter's parents.
Good stuff. All
just right, wanted our, to throw that in.
Our
there.
Next
to
one here, more dire situation. All right, this is a tough one. I think more dire situation. Is it the Lakers or the Timberwolves? Trey, you got it started. What you got? Obviously, they both lost last night.
It's a Spider-Man meme here, Skeets. It's bad, but the Timberwolves are the only team to play a 4-on-5 possession last night. So, to me, easy fix. Easy fix. Just play 5. You know? When you're the guy supposed to check in, yeah. D'Angelo Russell, just take a look out there. Count your teammates. You see 4? You look down at yourself? Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. That was embarrassing. And it's been like, it hasn't been literally that for the Timberwolves this entire season, but it's kind of been that this entire season for the Timberwolves. They're just not into it. They're just not focused on the game.
Checked out.
They're checked out 11 games into the season. It's pretty bad. There's no excuses for this one. Like, Karl Anthony Towns picked up 3 fouls first quarter. Rudy Gobert picked up 3 fouls first quarter. Go crazy, Anthony Edwards. Go crazy, D'Angelo Russell. You've been complaining that there are too many big guys out there. Now there's none, because Naz Reid also missed this game. I don't know, though. The Lakers are now, what, 7 games under .500? They've got to win 55-56% of their games to finish 42-40. LeBron left the game with an injury last night. Somebody's got to throw him a lifeline because the team that they have right now is not going to get it done. So I don't think the Lakers can fix it. The Timberwolves, I think, can fix it just because they've got more better players on their team. But they got to care. Yeah. They have to care a little bit.
Big Spider-Man meme. Totally agree. Can we go back to D'Angelo Russell for a second? Because that's two free throws where he's sitting there and is ready to come in. Well, not. The word isn't ready. No, he was not ready to come in, but he was supposed to come in.
Yeah, Prince went off, and he was supposed to check in, yeah.
And so who do you blame it? Obviously him, mm-hmm. but his other four teammates at all, the refs at all. I mean, on the Wolves, somebody's got to – somebody on his team, I guess it's mostly on him. But
it's on him. I guess I'll agree with you. An assistant coach should be like, all right, get in, man. Like,
you're sleeping, literally.
You don't think Ike Nori was saying anything?
No.
Guarantee he was. This is on Russell.
Yeah, it's on Russell, for sure. That one play. It is – it's strange, yeah, because Anthony Edwards was supposed to come into the season to focus on him for a second, be somewhat of a leader in the backcourt now with Patrick Beverley gone. And to hear his comments after the game, oh, we're going to Memphis, I think that might bring it out of us. I mean, they're really just grasping at straws. They played Memphis in the postseason last year, so they kind of feel like for some reason this might bring it out of them. But it's a huge question mark where that focus will happen. I do think, yeah, they have the better players, but at least the Los Angeles Lakers have been playing hard with worse players, you know, for a chunk of the season. The LeBron James injury, it sounds oldish, you know, when you start to look at the first 11 games of the season here for the Lakers. He's had a sore foot since camp, and he was questionable going into last night's game even, mm-hmm. with that sore foot. That just sounds, hey, I'm getting on in years, just everything's sore. And then midway through the fourth, he felt a little spasm or strain in his groin, as he said. But he said, I didn't do anything extraneous on the play. So he said it's not as bad as that groin injury that kept him out 4 years ago. But at the same time, this is when they have to win games because they're 2-9. And in all fairness, check their first 11 games. Check their schedule, the first 11 games. The Warriors, Clippers, Blazers, Nuggets to start.
Okay.
That's hard as hell.
Yeah.
Then this is the easy game. The Wolves, you know, who are supposed to be a playoff team. Then the Nuggets again, the Pelicans, the Jazz, only the best team in the league, the Cavs, the Jazz, and the Clippers. Those are all teams that could easily make the postseason, easily can make a run the first 11 games. Now, LeBron, if he doesn't come back Friday when they're supposed to play the Kings for this next stretch, then the season is over because it's going to be AD trying to carry this team. It's Kings, Nets, Pistons, Spurs, Suns, the tough one. Then Spurs, Pacers, and Blazers, right. The slightly tough
right.
one.
So you got to rack up some wins here.
He's got to come back. But also, I think if he does come back, he should put Jones on the back of his jersey or something, because that makes AD play harder. When he doesn't think LeBron is in the game, he says it. He said, my mindset switches. He said, if he's not out there on Friday, my mindset switches to just going out, being aggressive, and trying to find ways to help the team win. So pretend you're Damian Jones, who isn't playing on this team anymore. It's because it's a bad time if he's hurt. And although he says it's not as bad as 4 years ago when he first got to the Lakers, those things linger. Yeah.
One more note about the whole D'Angelo Russell not coming in and his team having to play 4-on-5 and giving up a three-pointer that then got the rebound and then hit another three. I guess it was Craig, right, that stepped into it. You know, he is rightfully getting clowned here by the internet and by every NBA Twitter and everybody here. He probably had like the second or third best game for the Wolves last night. That's the crazy part. That's how bad it is. Anthony Edwards struggled again, 4-of-12. Towns in foul trouble, took 7 shots. Gobert, okay. McDaniels actually played well. And then Russell, you know, 20 points, 6 assists, and shot 6 of 14. Like, it was that bad right now with this team and the vibes and, like, what's going on there. And will they just, like, figure it out? Will they make a drastic move? But this is disappointing because, like, when you compare it to the Lakers' dire situation, brutal, a 2-9 record, sure. LeBron injured, that's not good. You know, they are worse when he's not on the floor. But this is a team that made, like, such an aggressive trade. Mm-hmm. Like, their future sort of gone now in the hands of the Jazz, who are 10-3, and then here they are, like 5-7 or whatever their record is, Timberwolves. So mm-hmm. that's like, I mean, that's a double gut punch. It's like, not only are you struggling, but it's like, we made this move thinking, oh, here we go. Like, we're going to be a top four team. We're going to have home court advantage. We're going to be a really tough team to figure out. But the opposite has happened.
As a guy who doesn't have any dogs in this race, I'd much rather watch the Lakers at least try. And while the Wolves just give up three. And the Lakers stink at times. The game was tied late in the third against the Clippers, and then poof, it was gone. And the Clippers went on this run because they're deeper. They just have so many more players, so they rely so much on LeBron's near 38-year-old legs and groin and foot. And so I don't want to compare him to any of us here, but getting out on those basketball runs, like, we're sore. Imagine that guy and all the stuff he has to put his body through every single night. I just don't know what happens physically.
He's okay, gotta here's a new what point. You got for you, LeBron versus Father Time. What you got? Yeah. You've seen the commercials?
I've seen the commercials.
Who's winning in your mind?
I mean, it seems about even in the commercials.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, LeBron is getting his wins. But Father Time he's making some moves here, unfortunately, on LeBron, on the basketball court as well. He's at 25 points per game. His free throws are way down, and he's complaining about the refs after every game.
Yeah, yeah.
So Father Time is at the very least catching up to LeBron. And like you're saying, he's 38, or he will soon be 38, and they're asking him to be 28-year-old LeBron and carry the team. Mm-hmm. Like, Anthony Davis shouldn't have to wait for LeBron to go out of the lineup to realize he should be trying hard. And that's kind of what he says.
Yeah.
But Anthony Davis is a bit of, he'll just say things. Kind of like Carl Anthony Towns. They both, you put a mic in their face and they're just going to start talking and it comes out crazy.
Yeah, and just like to give a little positive, love, I guess, to the Suns in that Wolves win. I know we're clowning Minnesota, but they were without Chris Paul here again, and Booker had a monster game, Bridges had a monster game, and Campaign, who's had like a sort of bad start to the season, he's inserted into that starting lineup, 8-17, hit 4 threes, 8 assists, 6 boards. You know, he's a positive out there with those starters who got heavy minutes, and they're going to be happy with that. So like Shaman as their go-to guy off the bench, he had another good game. So they're doing it without Chris Paul. I think the Suns are, like, they're going well under the radar. That's probably the best for them at this point. Nobody's really talking about them, just racking up wins here, even if they're missing one of their better players in CP3 who did not dress in this game.
Dane Moore reported that Devin Booker just yelled at the Wolves bench during this game, "We play team basketball. We share the ball." That guy's like Carl Anthony Towns' best friend. He's trash-talking him during the game.
Yeah, good point.
His other best friend, D'Angelo Russell, isn't checking into the game. Tough night for Cat.
That's the weirdest trash talk.
We play
basketball. That's how down bad the Timberwolves are, that other teams are like, you don't even pass.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the Timberwolves are becoming the joke of the league right now in the early start of the season with all these Anthony Edwards clips going, whatever Towns is going to say in his post-game press conferences. And then this D'Angelo Russell nonsense last night. It's about as bad of a start for a 5-7 team as you could expect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, one more what you got here. Wilder finish from last night. Grizzly Spurs and that overtime game, or the Pacers Nuggets, which didn't go to overtime but had some big shot making down the stretch, had a crazy tech there from Carlisle. Which one are you going with? Wilder finish, what you got?
The one in San Antonio where there was a clock malfunction.
Yeah.
That's rare. There's probably some hijinks that happen in San Antonio. You know, they turn off the air conditioning for game one of the finals way back when. But 14 seconds left. Jeremy Sochan gets a steal under his own hoop, and then the clock just stops. It just stops. And then he goes and gets a dunk at the other end. It still stops. And then there's an inbound. He steals it and scores. And a few seconds go off the clock then. And everybody's just like, everybody's going, what? So the Memphis Grizzlies.
What is time, man?
Yeah, so he just made up 4 points just like that, real quick with, you know, a few seconds going off the clock when it should have been a lot of seconds going off the clock. The time went from 14 seconds down to 9 seconds, and everyone was confused. It should have – basically the buzzer should have gone off. But this is the end of overtime here. So even the Grizzlies broadcasters who are there, Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight, they take off their headsets because the refs are looking at the monitor. Those guys take off their headsets to yell at the referees like they're dads at a Little League game. Like, hey, did you see what happened? Like, they don't care about their jobs for a second. They're just like, you guys, you people at home, listen to silence. I don't care. I got something to say to these referees. Hey, Stripes. Get out! I'll meet you in the parking lot! You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's an injustice for sure there, isn't it?
Yeah, so...
It's weird.
It's cool that the Grizzlies won, because...
This would have been bad. Yeah. I wonder what the league would have done with this one if the Spurs had come back there. The Grizzlies started super hot in overtime. I think they scored like five straight, and then, the Spurs made this crazy comeback, helped out by the clock not going, and then had a chance to win it at the end. I think, was it...
Vassell.
It was Vassell. Yeah, it was Kelvin Johnson at the end of regulation had a chance, I think, to win it, so... Yeah, I wonder what the league would have said here if they did pull this off. That'd been really bad.
Was that was end of OT? Was end the of OT. Sohan the whole thing?
Yeah.
Would they have to like play the entire second overtime again? It feels like we have a protest that is granted once a decade in the NBA, and then you got to play like a 4-minute game you play a real game. Always the weirdest stuff. Tough night for the refs, though, last night, like all around. It was brutal in almost every single game last night. You mentioned the weird tech on Rick Carlisle at the end of Pacers Nuggets. That was bad, too. But, man, I don't know how you choose a Wilder finish. I guess I'm going Pacers Nuggets because every note I have is a question mark from it.
Okay.
Like Tyrese Halliburton doing a walk back, should have got to the 3-point line, had a toe on the line, but he like took 5 or 6 steps backwards to get to his jumper over Jokic there. Bones, KCP, DeAndre Jordan kept the Nuggets in this game because Jokic had 4 fouls in the first half. How about Jokic going for a layup when they're trying to foul him and he could just easily go to the line?
Yeah.
Miles Turner took the game winner here.
Yeah,
that
was weird.
All weird stuff in Pacers Nuggets.
Yeah, it was a weird game.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton with the step back, but then the weird setup of going to Miles Turner across the floor when Buddy Hield is right behind him. I guess he didn't see him, but that's Buddy's job. But Buddy was also yapping in his ear the possession before. Maybe they just don't like Buddy. Maybe they just had enough of Buddy. But there was like a drop off for Buddy Hield to do his job. His one job is to fire. And it was a wide open, would have been a wide open look for the win there. Yeah, he just threw it over to Miles Turner, who clanked, but... maybe they're trying to get Miles his trade. A weird one there. Yeah, the one in Memphis where, after the whole situation there with the clock, Ja Morant got fouled. 4 seconds went off the clock there. And basically they should have been in quadruple overtime by that time with the way the clock was going. And then, the Devin Vassell look. That was a beautiful setup by Greg Popovich for the win. That should have gone down. Yeah. That should have been over. So, 2 weird finishes. Perfect. Perfect match. Yeah.
Very weird finish. And Jokic, despite playing only 21 minutes, less than 21 minutes because of all the foul trouble, still finishes with 24 points, 6 assists and 4 boards, and was pretty like unstoppable down the stretch. Like that is always fun when like they're trying to get back in the game. They did with a lot of their reserves and Jamal Murray making a bunch of shots in the third quarter. They get back from what, like 18 down? And then it was like, okay, just give the ball to Jokic and have him operate. And they pulled it out, though it was very, very weird. Both of these endings. If you haven't caught them, go check the highlights.
And surprising, Benedict Mathurin also on the floor there could have got the look, but he dropped a 30 spot as well off the bench. Again, 30 points in 25 minutes for Benedict Mathurin. The guy is just scorching hot. And the reason why I say he could have got the ball at the end, because he plays within himself. There's no rush, never, ever, ever. He's always just calm. Knows what he has to do, and we talked about it. It's still surprising that he is coming off the bench. At some point, he's going to be in the starting lineup, but I think they're in Indiana. They want to be like Justice. They want to keep their wins low for a while. And, I think they're trying to do that for a bit.
And Jeff Green had another big dunk. He is still throwing down hammers.
He's got like 3 or 4 huge dunks already. Also had a nice chase down block in this game. I think he showed up in 2 of the NBA's top 10 plays from last night.
Wow.
Hopefully he plays until he's past 40. Like Jeff Green, just the most random dude.
For sure. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get to all of the other games that we haven't touched on yet, so don't go anywhere. All right, back in the Classic Factory, let's touch on a few of these other games from last night. Let's start with the Utah Jazz, who cannot lose. Lowry Markkanen, he's an all-star. Hell, he might be the MVP. Season high 32 as the Jazz beat the Hawks. Ka-ka, sad ka-ka, here in Atlanta. 125 119. Tess, notes from this one, takeaways.
The better team won.
Oh.
They are absolutely moving the ball. It just seems like they're always open. All these looks continuously are open because the other team is not ready for the ball movement that Utah brings to each and every possession. Even though Mike Conley didn't have a big line in terms of scoring, he had 13 assists in this one because he looks swift. He looks faster. I don't know if it's these black jerseys that he's playing in on the road, but, man, he looks svelte. There's an article by Tony Jones on The Athletic about how they got in shape early in camp, and now they're sort of just out running teams in the fourth quarter where they ended up winning this game. But the bad part about it is the Hawks did come back in the third quarter. They had a monstrous third quarter. But that's the thing about the Hawks is that they're not consistent. I mean, they come out and have a good quarter from time to time, but not every single quarter. Like these Utah Jazz, where the ball was absolutely being whipped around, they know exactly where they're supposed to be. They continuously get open. And Lauri Markkanen led the way, bombing away, and he's averaging 22.7 points, 9 boards, doing his things. Somebody tweeted at me and said, flashbacks of Andrea Bargnani in that year where he almost made the All-Star team.
Oh my.
How dare you, Sean J. Bank? This is different. This is different. Lauri Markkanen has some staying power in this league, unlike Andrea Bargnani, and this guy's had to work for it. And we know Lauri Markkanen can be a complimentary player in this league. But I bring that up because, there's an outside chance that he makes the All-Star team. We've been talking about it in Salt Lake City a few months from now. But I don't think they're going to get ahead of themselves. He's not anointed as a number one guy like Bargnani was. I don't think they're going to continuously to play the same type of basketball. You got to beat them. You got to defend. You got to dig in, and that will happen. I think when it comes to teams really locking in on them, and if they make the postseason, you can really defend against that. It'll be better defense. But they're surprising teams, and they're not ready for possession to possession when Mike Conley zips in or Clarkson zips in, and then they move that ball around, and then they work their ass off, and then you got Atlanta native Walker Kessler just blocking shots all over the place. I mean, they outworked the Atlanta Hawks. Simple as that. They know where to go. Trae Young will pass the ball off, and then he'll be there and get the ball back, and they're like, oh, that was kind of taking the possession off there, guys. It's like, There's just not the continuity that there is on the other side. Five guys are playing basketball. I hope that's what you guys were doing last night at your run.
I wasn't yelling at the guy sitting on the side, hey, we're playing team ball here. That's how you move the basketball. I didn't drop the Booker line there. With Lauri Markkanen, though, it's crazy that he is like their all-star right now, as we discussed for the last couple weeks, but they don't even run a play for him. Like, he's getting all of this just in the flow of the game, all of the ball movement. And he is amazing at, he gets the ball, and if he's not attacking or looking to score right away, he gets rid of it right away. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, and I think that obviously that's infectious when everybody plays like that. And so that's a monster game, 32 from him, but the bench was dominant for the Jazz against the Hawks last night. They just hammered the Hawks bench, which was non-existent. Beasley, great game off the bench. Talen Horton-Tucker, heard a who. He was awesome. Rudy Gay, okay, not a lot from him, but Kessler, you said, 12 points, didn't miss a shot. Those three guys, mainly, if you took out Gay there, Beasley, Horton Tucker, and Kessler, wow, just dominated the Hawks.
And they didn't even need Sexton.
No,
on this one.
Yeah, Sexton and Gay would be the two guys you would probably think would be like the ones scoring, but not this one.
It is pretty weird, though, that the Jazz have such good continuity. You look at the guys that they played off the bench, they were all on different teams last year.
Yeah. And
they have already figured out, hey, if we play fast, we play hard, and we move the ball, things are going to work out for us. But what in the world's going on with Trae Young this season?
Yeah.
22 points last night, 10 of 28 shooting. He's shooting 38% this season, 31% on threes. He takes a lot of really tough threes. I think the bigger problem, though, 41% on twos and 46% at the rim. He's usually a pretty solid finisher. He's still getting to the line and that kind of stuff. But an underwhelming start to the season. And we've talked a lot of times, Trae Young is a good offense. You have him out there, you're probably going to be a top five offense. The Hawks have been good, but Trae hasn't been all-star good yet.
Yeah, they're surprisingly 7-4 still, despite Trae Young not playing that way. It's definitely a learning curve for him, not having the ball in his hands as much and not just knowing that the offense is on his shoulders. And I brought up that possession where he passed the ball and then he was kind of in sleep mode. He went in D'Angelo Russell mode there. He kind of fell asleep there and then got the ball back. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to do something here, because he's not in that mode where he knows what to do when he's off the ball and where he's not managing the offense. So I think that probably speaks to some of his missed shots. I know it's weird. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, because he is a good finisher, because he does get space. But I guess it is a learning curve, because their offense, yeah, it's hey, your turn, hey, my turn. And Trey's just hasn't figured out when it's his turn how to really capitalize at this point.
Let's go to the Pelicans Bulls game.
Tragedy.
You want to flip the bird to the camera, like Vucevic? Brandon Ingram, 22 points as the Pelicans rallied to beat the Bulls 115-111. What were your takeaways?
First weekday loss for the Bulls.
Oh,
tough stuff.
They're human.
And yeah, an understandable finger from Nikola Vucevic in this one, I'll say. But I would rather give the finger to Brandon Ingram, because that guy was unstoppable in the fourth quarter. 16 points on 6 of 8 shooting. Also went to the free throw line 3 times, and it was doing it every sort of way. You could score a basket. It was like off a screen, all good. Dribbling the ball up the court, all good. He hit like a Kawhi Leonard sort of bounce shot where it went 10 feet, went above the backboard, still dropped down, all good. Bulls still had a chance to win, though. About 19 seconds left. Getting ready to inbound to DeMar DeRozan, and it just went off his hands. Down 3, comes to catch the ball at half court, off his hands, out of bounds. Bulls lose. 0-6 so far this season in clutch games.
Oh, wow.
DeRozan's having a great season, like from a scoring perspective, but he hasn't hit a bunch of game winners like he did for the Bulls last year. That's the difference between like a solid start, which they've had, and a really impressive start like they had last season. But in clutch time, they're 27th on offense and 29th on defense, because I feel like teams just know if you miss, just go to the glass. You're probably going to get a second chance at it. Where on offense, it's like, is DeRozan going to be able to bail him out? A lot of times he has, but there's just not always the ball movement for the Bulls in the fourth quarter, so they blew it. Blew it a little bit.
The streak's over.
Streak's over.
The weekday Bulls streak is over.
And the rest were brutal in this one, of course.
Yeah, I guess Vooch will be getting some sort of fine here today, right?
Yeah, maybe so. It's got to be. Maybe so. But they missed a bunch of calls.
You got any thoughts on the Pelicans here? Nah. With their guys, you know, back. I mean, I know they were back for the last game for the most part, but they lost that one. But pulled it out here with, I guess Ingram said, like, I'm going to turn it on in the second half. And Trey's saying he absolutely did. So he talked to Zion about that. Let's turn it up a notch.
It feels like a deep team now, right? With Brandon Ingram back and Zion not having an immense amount of pressure on him, because CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram can take it off his shoulders. And CJ McCollum has not had a great season to start here, a great start to this season, only averaging 19, but he's playmaking more, and it bodes well for this team. This was a win that they gutted out. Now they go play their old rival, the Blazers, tonight. They got McCollum versus Lillard this evening. Looking forward to that.
Spicy, spicy, spicy.
So, it's an odd line that we'll get to a little bit later.
Okay.
Confused by that line.
Let's show some love to the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
A quality win last night. Sabonis scored 21 as they topped Donovan Mitchell, who had a monster game for the Cavs. But 127-120, the Kings finally proved that they can put together, for the most part, a complete game. Four quarters of pretty solid Sacramento Kings basketball, because that has been their issue. They look great one quarter, they look like crap the next, but they never trailed. And led by many as 15 until the Cavs did take the lead, you know, early in the fourth quarter, but they hit the big shots. Malik Monk was awesome for Sacramento. He's playing really well this season. Those moves, getting Herter and Monk, you know, we talked about them in our preseason podcast. We thought that was maybe like going a little under the radar and how they could help this team. And they have been big sparks, those two guys, and Monk especially, I thought, last night. Not only just in scoring, him and Lyles off the bench combined for 40 points and hit 7 threes, but playmaking. Monk was making plays for other guys in this one in a tight game. So Sacramento, here we go. All right. I'm back in, baby, on this team making the play-in tournament. But really, really quality win. And the Cavs, obviously a great team, and this is their second loss.
Kings back to being percentage points within the play-in tournament.
That's right.
Oh, there we go.
That's the old Sacramento Kings we know, knocking on the door of the play-in tournament. It was odd, the last 2 minutes of this game, it was all tied up, and the Cavs just crumbled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Their offense was not there, and Darius Garland had a rough one in this one, although Donovan Mitchell continues to right the ship. So there's no worries on that side. I think it's all right to lose a couple road games in a row here. Let's just celebrate the Kings. You guys can do it.
Hey, well, Mike Brown, like, coached his ass off last night. He actually kept Fox out for a good majority of that fourth quarter because the other Mitchell, Davion Mitchell, at that point started to have some success on containing the other Mitchell and Donovan, who, again, had a big, big game. But there in the fourth, it started to go away a little bit. But then he went back to Fox to close it out, and Fox was giving it on the defensive end. So he's getting through to these guys in this team. And, again, just a really solid win. Harrison Barnes had his best game of the season so far. You know, you sometimes forget that he's on the Sacramento Kings, but he had 19 is like his season high, I know, which is weird. Like, you know, he'll pop off for like a 30-point game here at some point, but to get this victory and to play just like, again, four pretty solid quarters. I mean, they gave up 35 in the third quarter. You don't like that, but otherwise, keeping the team to under 30, that's how you can win in this league, especially when you got some offensive talent. Ian Fox and Sabonis, and I like that Fox didn't have to go for 35. He wasn't even close to the leading scorer. It was Sabonis in this one, and a little bit more like everybody chipping in. So Sacramento, what a win.
Tough.
Feels good.
3-2 in their last five, up to 25th in defense. This is the Kings we were excited about in the preseason.
Absolutely.
Mike Brown revenge game as well. Beating his old team. Yeah. That's what I was. When I read this, J.B. Bickerstaff, Cavs head coach, said it's awesome seeing Mike on the other side. It's awesome because I've known Mike since I was 13. He worked for my dad as a video coordinator for Bernie Bickerstaff when I was growing up. There's no better person than Mike Brown. You don't find people like that in our business. And I believe that with the smile on Mike Brown's face. He can't be an angry bunch. At least the Kings, I think, will have fun this year, even if they're, you know, 500-ish, below 500.
This was sort of a revenge game for the Kings playing against Luke Walton, too, who's an assistant coach on the Cavs.
Definitely.
Double revenge game. That's tough.
Stick it to Luke. And they did there. all right, and the other games, I'm going to throw all three of them at you guys because they're sort of like not surprising results, I think, from last night in a very busy schedule. We had Lillard scoring 26 as the Blazers handed the Hornets their sixth straight loss. Tatum scored 31 as the Celtics beat the Pistons for their fourth straight win. And Van Vliet, this guy's on fire since coming back from the injury. He scored a season-high 32, and the Raptors, it was a little closer than probably Raptors fans wanted, but Raptors beat the Rockets 116-109 at home. So the Blazers, the Celtics, and the Raps.
Professional victory for the Toronto Raptors.
Sure.
Mark it down. Mark it down in the PE category. Yeah, they needed to win that. And Dame looked like Dame again. I know it's his second game coming back, but getting it warm for this rematch with CJ McCollum tonight. Mm. And yeah, he just looked back. 26-point night. He started the season, you know, scorching hot with a couple 41-point games. He was looking really good until that injury. So I was waiting for the Dame game to come back because I didn't want a flashback, a rehashing of last year where he wasn't himself. He was playing with the abdominal injury and then had to have surgery. So I just wanted him to come back. And yeah, the calf injury seems to be long gone. He looked good last night.
Any thoughts on either of these or three of these games?
Not many thoughts, but my stepbrother had the same seats for the Celtics game again last night.
Wow.
Said it wasn't quite as exciting, but you know, 31 for Jason Tatum, 30 for Jaylen Brown, and 24 for Sam Hauser. Had a nice game.
Yeah.
So an easy win for the Celtics over the Pistons. I saw Jason Tatum did the Karl Malone mailman dunk. Nah, it's a no.
That's a no from you.
No. Looks like you're doing the sprinkler dance.
Oh. It's a good dance. I did that yesterday.
What?
For my kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Precisely.
It's a dad dance.
It's a dad dance.
Well, maybe Deuce likes it.
It's a good point. His son's always there.
Yeah.
Daddy.
It's possible.
Do the sprinkler.
Yeah. I think like the Celtics are like the Suns, like where they just are. They're going about their business. No one really cares all that much. You know, they beat these teams that are struggling or, you know, sort of bottom-dwelling teams, at least in the Pistons' case last night. And that's good. That's fine. And we'll see you come – basically see you come April and May and who you get matched up against and stuff like that.
I'll say we'll see you come whenever Robert Williams comes back that would be nice to see the Celtics get back to playing defense. And he's obviously a huge part of their defense, but right now they're cruising so much they don't even care. First in the league in offense, and it feels like Tatum and Brown – one of them's going for 30 every single night.
Yeah.
And there have been many nights so far this season where it's both of them.
Bad news from the Raps game. I'll just chuck this in there. I don't know if we have like an update on the injury, but Precious Achiuwa left this game. Didn't look good. I mean, he was hobbling off pretty bad. And he had just been called out by Nick Nurse, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he had like a one-on-one like meeting with him. It was like, you need to play better, man. Like, you are not playing up to your capabilities. What can we do to unlock you and stuff like that? And then immediately this happens. And that's, you know, last night it was Otto Porter and Thad Young coming off the bench and contributing, because Precious and Chris Boucher, for the most part, have not been that great. Not as great as they were last season for the Raptors coming off the bench, but it's nice that you have. Otto Porter hit two big threes in this game, which was close, and Thad Young, I don't think scored a single point, but like was one of those like guys contributing in so many other ways, defensively, you know, just moving the ball and stuff like that. So we'll see what Precious is. The update is probably later today. I'm sure that would come out.
Well, yeah, it was an ankle injury, so hopefully it's a sprain, but yeah.
He's a big man. Big guy.
Fighting through ankles. That hobbling.
Yeah. Hey, no injuries last night at our return to our pickup run. I guess Art got a little banged up, but that was it.
Yeah, he took a tough tumble.
Yeah.
I think it was more pride that was hurt out there. Sloppy nights.
It was a sloppy.
You could tell
the guys had not been playing pickup basketball all that often. It was rough. Some highlights here and there, but otherwise, a lot of bricks. A lot of houses were made.
A lot of Sam Hausers. Not a lot of Sam Hausers. I'm catching a lot of flack for the form on my jumper skates.
Oh, no.
People are saying, ooh, what kind of shot mechanics are these? Watch a Larry Bird tape, y'all. I learned to shoot in the 1980s. Been shooting since before you were born, Josh.
It was great. Just a quick story. Who banked one home on you or against your team?
Art.
Oh, it was Art.
First possession. He banked one in off the corner of the top of the glass.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he did call. He did call glass.
He called glass.
On his three-point shot, which was like, whoa, okay. And then Trey comes down and banks it
banked in a three on the next possession.
I saw that on the highlight.
Yeah, that was
JD, I got a question. When these guys start talking about pickup basketball, there's no music cue. It feels like... The old crickets come back. Yeah, I saw Art playing defense on that banker. I throw defense in air quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd slowly walk towards you, which is probably the right move.
He shouldn't have closed that hard.
Yeah.
Trey, I don't remember calling bank on his.
No. Mine was as intentional of a bank as Art's was, but he was smart in that he knew it was off right away.
Yeah.
Call bank, because if it goes in, it looks sweet.
That's
true.
Great.
So he had the unintentional bank. I had the unintentional bank. He came down the very next possession and shot it off the top of the glass on the corner from the same spot. I was like, okay, only once will that go through.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, basketball.
Good thing you didn't come last night, though.
Why is it? Oh.
Too many guys.
Oh.
Too many guys. Too many guys.
17 guys. A lot of miscommunication in the group chat, you know. I think they course-corrected from last week where they were short guys. So then everybody said, I got two. I can bring three. I can bring two. But nobody's checking to see like who's bringing how many. Suddenly you show up with 17 guys? You can't have that. 13 is a sweet number. 12 to 13.
13 is perfect, I think.
Yeah.
I'm a 13 man.
Yeah, 13 is good because someone inevitably leaves early.
Exactly.
And then, you know, people start to get tired, but 17, I mean, oh my God. Yeah. You should have seen us trying to figure out who was playing next.
Oh, man. It was bad.
It was a nightmare. Anyway. Let's take our final break here of the show, and when we come back, Trey's got a couple Tweet of the Nights, and we got our Pick'em Picks.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like
entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Anti-Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with the boys. Let's get to Tweet of the Night. Oh, well, that's a mistake, isn't it? No, I didn't mean that. That's my bad. Here comes Tweet. Oh, okay, sure.
Tweet of the Night.
Freestyling.
Wow.
Freestyling.
Hey, like, I'm just going to say it right now. Too many fucking games on. We got to play Pickup Hoops and Survivor. Come on.
When did you watch that Survivor?
This morning.
Same. It was good. It was interesting. It was interesting out there. Interesting out there. Tune in.
Tired.
1 p.m. Eastern. Tired?
Yeah.
Why are you tired, buddy?
Because we go hoop. Tired from that. Come back and try and watch a million games. Catch up on games.
Oh,
I'm exhausted.
I know. I did the same.
I know. Well, that's why I'm all discombobulated here. Yeah. Things are out of order. You know, it's whatever. Who gives a shit?
Hey, I do.
About what?
I still do.
About Tweet of the Night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Tweets. Yeah, Tweet of the Night. Oh, there was a meme going around on Twitter last night. The new owner of the company wants people to pay for their check marks. But guess what? You can still keep your check mark if you already had one. As it turns out, if you click on that check mark, it tells you if it was verified because it's notable in whatever field or if you subscribe to Twitter Blue. So this became a meme last night with some nice NBA tie-ins. I loved these two. This one is from Jasmine L. Watkins, a great follow in the NBA Twitter sphere, who said the original verified account is Klay Thompson.
Yep.
But the Twitter Blue verified account is fake Klay Thompson. I love this guy. I feel like he's going to be getting play in the league for as long as Klay is around and maybe even afterwards.
Well, he like pushed it pretty far though that one time, right?
Got on the court.
Yeah.
Got on the court.
He shot around for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He shot around for 10 minutes.
10 full minutes.
They're like, sorry, he's verified.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
That's essentially what's going on.
Yep. So I thought that one's funny. Also funny, Dragonfly Jones, second shout out of the show.
Great follow.
Verified account here because notable in sports, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Red Bulls jersey, number 23. How about the Twitter Blue version of Michael Jordan, a.k.a. former Miami Heat Gary Grant. Oh, wow. I only know this is Gary Grant because I saw Trayvon Edwards respond, is that Gary Grant? Yes, that's Gary Grant.
So that's interesting. The Heat retired Michael Jordan's number 23.
Yes.
But you can wear it, I guess, on Miami, of course.
Let me check Gary's.
It's probably one of those.
Gary,
probably the last Heat to wear number 23. This was the 96-97 season.
Oh, that photo's that old.
He only played one season for the Heat.
Oh, okay. Then there you go.
And he had the perfect accessories, the bald head, the goatee. He even had on an armband. I think that's very funny. I would love to go back and look at all of the old NBA players who had like the exact same look as Michael Jordan. Mm. I remember when Ron Harper came to the Bulls, I was like, you just bit his whole flow, man. Even down to the leg sleeve he had on. That was a look. Like 1995, shave your head, grow a goatee. Throw on an armband. Yeah. You could be Michael Jordan yourself.
Oh, yeah. Where's cologne?
Smell just like
it. When I first saw that tweet, I thought the jersey, the Heat jersey, was fake. I thought that was part of the joke. Mm. With the shadow on the numbers? What a mistake. What a huge mistake.
Oh, we got some jerseys to talk about here in the coming days.
We got some jerseys.
The official all 30 city edition jerseys.
We got carpet on jerseys. PDX carpet.
The airport.
It's damn nice.
Yeah, you like that
that's
one.
That's a nice look.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tipping your hand here, are you? Yeah. You're right. I love that Tweet of the Night. I just apologize for not having pick 'em first. JD, let's do it now because the results from last night were the Clippers covered. We ultimately decided on the line was Clippers by 3.5. It's fine. They won. Tass had the Lakers to cover, so that's an L for you. You are, what, 2-4 now at this point?
Yeah, struggling.
Here in the month? Yeah. And I'm 4-2. Trace 3-3. I forgot to update my notes. That's what's happening.
Listen, this is me. We've got five people operating a video show, an audio show, a factory.
Yeah.
There should be far more.
Yeah.
There should be somebody.
More errors, you think?
Well, yeah.
Or more people.
Both. There should be more errors, but we're doing a great job. It's not a perfect job.
We're trying.
It's not a perfect job.
Hey, Jennifer, we're trying.
Hey, where's the Chiron?
Anyway. So what's tonight's game?
I love saying Chiron. So I hinted earlier at an old Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum matchup. Looking forward to that. It's not old. It's new. CJ and Dame facing off.
They've never played against each other.
No.
Yeah.
And also old. Remember back in 2021 when Ben Simmons didn't dunk Sixers Hawks? We're doing that tonight. Maybe the Hawks were looking forward to tonight. Maybe that's why they didn't beat the Jazz.
Oh, wow.
Back-to-back home game, so they didn't have to travel. No excuse. They should be all right against 76ers. Also, Mavericks Wizards, Porzingis versus his old team.
What is it? Rivalry week.
Is it rivalry week or no?
Is that what it was called?
There is a rivalry week.
It's later.
It's tough for you to say.
That's a tough word, man. Rivalry.
Rivalry.
Rivalry. That's what it feels like coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's
but I think rivalry week. I think it's in January.
It's in January. Yeah. I think Adam Silver.
That's my main rival right now is the word.
Adam Silver didn't get his Commissioner's Cup quite yet or his in-season tournament, so they decided we'll throw in this rivalry week, which is whatever it is. Anyways, also the Hornets are playing the Heat. Is there a rival there? Anyways, the game that we're picking tonight is the Trailblazers versus the Pelicans. It's a four-game slate. I'm excited about so many things. A four-game slate here. Blazers visiting the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are favored by 6.5, which seems quite large.
I think that's too big.
It does.
That's what I think.
Yeah, so you jumped on the Blazers. I have no idea why I picked the Pelicans and why you did, Trey, so please tell me why you did, because I need to feel a little bit better about my -6.5.
Honestly, I watched Brandon Ingram cook the Bulls completely last night, and I just think he's going to continue to cook. And I also think they'll probably get the ball to Zion a little bit more in this game, and that could be a mismatch in favor of the Pelicans.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah, the front line.
Just hoping for a backdoor cover, Blazers.
Zion versus Justice Winslow, yeah. And then, so we got a four-game slate, and then you're recapping these on the Daily Ding podcast on the Athletic NBA show?
Going on the Ding tonight.
There we go.
Ding dog.
They picked the right night to have Skeets on the Ding because the games will be over by 10:30.
Yeah.
Early starts here tonight, everybody. Wow. If you're on the West Coast, you're going to be catching some dinner basketball.
Yeah.
Dinner ball, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are like, what are they, 3 7 o'clock starts or something like that, and then maybe 1 8 or maybe 2-2.
Yeah, we got an 8 early. O'clock is the latest start, Portland, New Orleans.
Yep, but you can catch me on the Ding later tonight, recapping these four games. No pickup hoops tonight, so I'll be locked in. No Survivor, I'll be locked in.
Who's the Ding host?
Jared.
Oh, that's nice. Yep. Nice.
That's Weiss.
Vice.
Is it Weiss or Vice?
He goes Weiss, but.
Yeah, you say Vice.
Do I?
Yeah.
You blaming me for it?
Because you said Jared Weiss. I'm like, what?
I think it was Weiss. I definitely have. I know that.
You never know out there. You never know, maybe, but I think it is Weiss.
Maybe he changed the pronunciation.
I think it's Weibelry.
I believe it's pronounced.
Okay. Let's call it there. A bit of a wild one, no doubt. A couple podcasts for you to check out, both in the past and upcoming. Yesterday, Is This Good?
I like that. And the current one you're listening to.
Yeah, and this one. Yesterday, Is This Good? Matty O, JD, and special guest Max Shapiro. This was a restaurant edition of Is This Good. So I know there were some technical difficulties.
Yeah, but you know. The internet, man.
Yeah.
What can you say?
But
Matty O was in his element here. And Max is a great guest.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Okay, I haven't listened to this one yet or watched this one. So go check that out. Is This Good has its own podcast and YouTube feed. Coming up later today also has its own YouTube and podcast feed. Our No Buffs Survivor Recap Podcast. We're up to episode 8. Trey and I watched it this morning. So we'll have fresh thoughts on this. I thought it fairly entertaining
episode. Yeah, I liked
there's
it.
A there's Bounce a nice back. Without giving away spoilers here. There's a nice little twist right off the bat where you're like, whoa, didn't know that happened. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that coming. So we'll get into that and who obviously went home and where the rest of this season is going. So that's later today at 1 p.m. Eastern after Trey and I eat our Chick-fil-A that we always have. And here it is. Look at that. okay, we're showing Matteo and JD, who are the mayors of Larry Flint's Hustler Club, and they achieved that back in the day, like 11 years ago.
What is this photo of you and Matt from?
Yeah, that's from the NBA Awards in New York.
Styling on them.
You're on the catwalk there. I see NBA behind you. Very funny.
It is.
We have a shared Foursquare account, apparently.
Yeah, I'm confused. So you upgraded your Foursquare account?
Are we sure
in the last
Foursquare?
I thought it was.
I thought it was just straight up Facebook. You can pick.
Yeah.
Or are they linked? Well, maybe they were linked together.
They must have been linked. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but hold on, you updated your picture since?
What?
Like,
I think Jerome just grabbed a picture of me and Matt together.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Although that's, I should change my profile pic to that, I think.
Oh, where are we going to Magic City or the Claremont Lounge to celebrate your anniversary?
Let's go to Cheetah.
You want to go to Cheetah?
Yeah,
wow.
I love the Cheetah.
All right. Well, I guess this is going to be a weird episode of the Daily Ding tonight. We'll be live from Cheetahs with JD talking to Jared Weiss/Nice. All right. Clipper Bros. Come on. Yeah. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first.
Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, some Weiss Weibo Wii games tonight.
Embrace the day, people.